Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope that everybody is having a good day, at least what's left of it, right? I wanted to let you know that we are going to get into more marketing today. I think that a lot of people like to see the constitutional positions on issues in the news and so forth, because way too many times we just accept the fact that this is happening, that it's all okay, it's all constitutional. And it's not. Too many times we're suffering from tyranny and we're not acknowledging and or recognizing and talking about it. It's that old elephant in the room or the elephant in the marketplace, the elephant in the news, the police station. We need to start talking about the elephant. And I don't mean the political what do you want to call that? The donkey and the elephant. Those are mascots, whatever. Not talking about the Republican elephant. I'm just talking about the adage that nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. They'd just rather walk around it. And as a matter of fact, I think that we as a society have gotten to a point where it's not about walking around it. It's just like we've been conditioned. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you a good example, because I've read about this when I was going through, I think it was one of my marketing classes, management classes, what have you, where they had five monkeys in a cage. And every time they would bring bananas and put them inside the cage, when the monkeys tried to go get the bananas, they would hose them down with really cold water. And so the monkeys became conditioned that they were not to eat those bananas that they put in the cage. So one by one, they end up replacing these monkeys so that, I don't know if they're chimpanzees or whatever, but that doesn't matter. They ended up replacing all of the monkeys to where every single monkey, and actually they stopped using the hose. They would just place the bananas in there and they would police themselves. So they got to a point where there were no more monkeys that experienced the hosing down of cold water. And when they injected a new monkey into the cage and that monkey went to go get the bananas, all of the monkeys policed or beat the crud out of this one monkey for trying to get the bananas. In other words, they became conditioned that that's how it's supposed to be, and you have to comply. That's how we have been conditioned, because we are looking at things as, well, that's how it is. We have to comply. No, we don't. We don't have to comply to unlawful or illegal things. We have a very clear, limited and defined constitution that gives the government only certain powers. And there are way too many things that have literally grown legs to where there's bureaucracies that are unconstitutional that have been forced upon the states because the states think, oh, well, because it's everything the federal government does has to be constitutional. And that is wrong. That is clearly wrong. So let me state this, that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the show that really does talk about the Constitution and help you understand where the problems are really coming from and what we can really do to solve the problem. We are solution-based. That is it. We are out to literally get you into living a life without tyranny. Tyranny is, by definition, the arbitrary laws that are established by government or a form of government. We do not want to live under tyranny anymore, and there is a process of ending that. That's probably why you've been listening, and that's probably why you're helping other people learn about this show. Our content is very clear, and we're very, very focused. And I know I haven't said this for a long time, But this show is dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. I really don't care about Congress. I don't care about the federal government because we can't change the federal government. I believe you could literally exchange all of Congress and the lobbyists and the staffers and everybody that's permanent residents there would get everybody on board, and this is how this works, this is how that works, and get everybody back into compliance of the unconstitutional government that they are inflicting us with. So in addition, this show is also dedicated in supporting the county and state grassroots leaders, which really is the party. We need to get the party on board. We need, and there's some places that the party is just going to be really quick to getting on board because the Constitution's still in their DNA. But there are places that are going to require a little bit of nudging, and you know, there's the old carrot and stick, right? Motivational approaches. And in some respects, I think most of the really dark red states, it will be more of a, you know, automatic and or a carrot type of thing where they'll recognize, wow, this is a real opportunity. But those states that are not going to necessarily come along quickly, who knows? Let's just say, give an example, Arizona. Arizona may be one of those states because, look, they've had really crappy senators. They have had senators that were so crappy that they actually tarnished the Republican brand. And if they don't get that and they don't understand how important their brand is, then they may be, you know, a little more reluctant because it doesn't matter. As long as that guy's got an R there, he could, you know, he could commit murder, do all sorts of terrible things. No. We need people that will live up to their oath and not be willing to commit moral perjury by actually supporting things that are unconstitutional. So, what this means is that this show is literally out to support all of these state legislators and these grassroots leaders at the different levels within the state, because these are the folks who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens, which means that if they're protecting their citizens, they're protecting all of us from federal tyranny. Because once somebody stands up against federal tyranny, it becomes an electrical charge throughout the republic that people will go, wow, we got to do this too. It's the adage of David and Goliath. I believe that if we get one David, one state to stand up against Goliath, then other states will quickly join in and become a part of the solution. And so with that, let me kind of meander into some groveling. So now you understand really what this show is kind of about and why we're focused. And I'm hoping to get some state legislators as soon as the legislative sessions are over, so that we can actually talk about what they were doing. And I want you to hear from them, the Agenda 21 lobbyists that are just completely unrestrained, that are trying to get all sorts of bad bills, unconstitutional bills, passed in the state legislation or legislative sessions. So let me grovel. If you want to help, if you'd really like to support us, we're not asking for lots of money. At this point in time, we're just trying to get the cost of our travel, those things that are outside of, because we don't have a rich uncle. Maybe you could be our rich uncle. I don't know. But if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, reclaimingtherepublic.org, right at the very top of that homepage, you will find a link to the GoFundMe page where our crowdfunding campaign is. It's Reclaiming the Republic, of course. If you don't have the money, but you want to get involved, you want to be a leader, you recognize that what is going on is wrong, that we have to take a stand. You know, there are most people in the federal government, there's most people throughout this republic that really don't recognize just how bad and how wrong things really are. And I believe that once they have that epiphany, you know, some may say, oh, well, why can't we just continue doing it? I mean, we've been doing this for a long. No, because first off, If you realize that your contract was being violated, if you realize that that property over there where your grandpa used to live is actually yours, that somebody, you know, did some devious things to actually take it away, and you actually get the paperwork that proves that that's your property, I'll bet you anything you'd stand up and take it. Well, if you understand the Constitution, the states were left with the property rights to health care, the property rights to energy, the property rights to education. And the federal government has stolen your and the state's property rights because those were reserved to the people and the states. That's why this is important. Because they're using these things against us. You cannot tell me, if you look at the education system, that we are being benefited, that it is a good thing. And therefore, if you understand that all of this is unconstitutional and that we actually have an ability to get this back without even having to fire a shot, we don't have to revolt. We have a contract that supports this. It's just like that deed that you found of your grandfather's, that's your property. We now have the empirical evidence that they have no constitutional rights or powers over these things that are not delegated. And unfortunately, you know, that means that we're going to have to do a little bit of work. But I'm telling you, my friends, the work and the sweat and tears that are going to be involved in this are going to be worth it. Because we will be able to preserve liberty for our posterity. So with that, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. We're going to be back and we're going to be diving into a little more groveling, and then we'll be diving into the marketing du jour. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So I didn't get a chance to finish the groveling. Not that I'm keeping track, but I have to. But anywho, the one thing that we could use is we could use your direct support. If you live in Arkansas, I don't have anybody helping us in Arkansas. I don't have anybody helping us directly. I've had a few people kind of pipe up, but they haven't stepped up to helping in Oklahoma. So if you live in a red state, I don't want to go through the whole list, but don't hesitate to just say, hey, you know, what can I do? How can I help? and I will get you started. I actually do some of the work and research, you know, for you, so that you all you've got to do is just start getting organized, make some phone calls or what have you. But please, if you've got a little bit of time and you have those resources and you have a little bit of computer literacy, you can help. And that's how we start leading, because you'll be surprised. I never thought I would be in this situation today where we are in Wyoming. And it all started because I started making phone calls. And not just to Wyoming, but all over the place. And Wyoming gets it. They completely understand. Like I said in the previous segment, the DNA still possesses, their DNA out there still possesses the Constitution. They still have a love for liberty. And so we've been able to have really good success in working with them. And I honestly believe that when you really talk to patriots, and if they're not so steeped and they're not so baked into their biases and their paradigm of this is how we got to do this, because I get that. I get that a lot. And some of those people are just, you know, it's just hard to get them to think outside the box because, you know, we are conditioned. We're conditioned by all sorts of education and years of reinforcing these concepts. And anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. Email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can get involved is just join the Constitution Club with Keith Broders. That is constitutionclub.ning.com. And there's also, I think it's our First Right is the organization. We will have Erin on the show, and she'll be talking. We'll probably do a couple segments with her so she can kind of give you some information on what they're doing and what their focus is. So with that, let me kind of move on, because we do have, you know, some things that, you know, it's not like the news is really going anywhere, but it's out there. And I figure, why not use those types of things, those events and those happenings as fulcrums that I might be able to get you to start looking at how these things are occurring, why these things are occurring, and with a constitutional view to say, these things should not be occurring. We should not be allowing these types of things, and hopefully get you motivated to step up and step in and get involved. So let me thank you as I move rapidly forward. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for letting other people know that, you know, they've got to do their civic duty and tune in as well so that they can learn. Yesterday, I ended the show talking about the assassination of the Tuttles in Houston. It was a very tragic event where the cops came in and did a no-knock raid. I am a huge advocate in supporting police and giving them the things, the resources, what have you, to do their job and letting them use the appropriate force necessary to protect and serve their community. However, I do not believe that what they did was a necessary force. That said, we have to ban these types of no-knock raids unless there is overwhelming evidence that this is the only way they can actually go in and seize the evidence and arrest the people that they need to do. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples. So let's say there's an Islamist training camp out in the woods. Let's say it's out in New Mexico, you know, like what was happening last year, where there's a sizable body of combatants on site. In this scenario, doing a no-knock raid would be tantamount to a military attack. And I'm not okay with that because, and you probably thought I was kind of baiting you. But if you understand these conditions, you know, this is not an urban setup. This is way out in the middle of nowhere where, you know, it's not like there's a lot of collateral damage that can happen. If you understand what I'm saying, the conditions, you know, really may seem like they've got combatants there, but it's not like there's innocent bystanders or what have you. And we have to make sure that the conditions do not allow a possible manipulation where combatants or what we are viewing as combatants can be taken down by, oh, well, they've started firing. just remember, this happened in Waco. This happened in Ruby Ridge, where innocent people, as we found out because we investigated, there were a lot of innocent people that were killed. And there's still yet no accountability for that. But because in this particular scenario, this facility is isolated, and like I said, there's really a minimum potential of collateral damage or hostages and that type of thing, I honestly believe that law enforcement should be able to move in with, you know, kind of an announcement as well as some surveillance without having to shoot a shot and use the militia in support of this. This is precisely what the militia is for. If you understand this, we're talking about a paramilitary situation where there's a group of combatants that are armed and they're training, you know, how to attack and those types of things. That's a paramilitary organization. And by the way, there are a few of them. This is precisely what the Constitution has the militia for insurrections and rebellions, not for your sheriff and police department and SWAT teams to go out there. As I have pointed out, the Constitution makes it very clear that the militia is the 911 force for internal insurrections. This is why we have the militia, and it has been ignored within the Constitution. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to get away from that, you have to amend the Constitution. The federal government is responsible for equipping and training every state's militia so that the states can use these things for within their own states instead of using police forces who are not constitutionally accountable. Now, they may take oaths and so forth, but they do not have a constitutional role, and our tax dollars should not be going to, federal tax dollars should not be going to your county sheriff. They should not be going to your municipality police force, period. Federal dollars should only be going to the militia. Now, oh, by the way, there is no constitutional allowance for a National Guard. None. If you want to have a National Guard, change the Constitution through an amendment. But all funding for National Guards needs to be converted back to constitutional establishments of militias. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of these blue states, they don't even want to have militias. They like the military state of a national state military being able to come in and inflict their, you know, gun seizures and what have you that they want to literally drive down your throat. So let me give you a scenario that actually might be applicable to a no-knock raid now, okay? So if there's a situation where there's a lot of combatants, like a gang or organized crime in an urban area, this might merit a no-knock raid because of potential, you know, lots of firing and people getting hurt or what have you. So sometimes the use of the surprise element might be, you know, critical. But to me, the most important thing, or the thing that is paramount, is the protection of life and property. That is it. That is the object of government. They are supposed to be protecting life and property. So the threshold for actually executing this type of raid really should be that a search warrant in itself would not suffice, that there would be, you know, all sorts of risks of the loss of evidence and or, you know, potential setups where, you know, police can go in and execute the raid and be, you know, hurt or killed or what have you, because these are really bad players. However, in the Tuttle case, and almost all of these no-knock raids that we hear about, the one that happened in, I think it was Missouri. And all of these raids, and even what's happening with Stone and Manafort, those no-knock raids, are you kidding me? That is literally an exposition of thuggery. There was no need for that. It's not like there were a whole bunch of people with armed, you know, guard points and so forth that you come close and they're going to shoot you. That wasn't the case. And America should be ashamed that we have law enforcement exercising that kind of force. I mean, if you understand, we are a society of laws with the rule of law, and the liberty of the citizen must be protected. Getting rid of these no-knock raids is probably a great start. There has to be a high threshold, a high bar to say we need to do this. And maybe judges shouldn't be the only ones allowed to actually say, you know, we need to do this. I believe that the right of the people to be secure, and this is the Fourth Amendment, okay? I believe that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And what ended up happening in Houston was that those people's rights were violated. They lost their life because they didn't know who the heck was attacking them, and they just tried to defend themselves. As you can tell, we're at a hard break. So we're going to be right back where I can finish this point. So please stay tuned. And we've got more on SOGI and the freedom of speech and expression being threatened again in America. Thank you so much. I'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so as I was reading the Fourth Amendment, I got cut off by my promo. So let me finish this. The right of the people to be secure in their person's house, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, let me be clear here. If you notice that they threw this thing supported by oath or affirmation, in other words, they wanted to make sure that somebody was not going to commit moral perjury. Remember the old 14th Amendment, Section 3, people that are committing an oath, they should be tried and or punished. And so this goes into these FISA warrants that have been issued and were levied against Trump, where they literally lied, my friends. These folks need to go to jail for perjury. They need to be completely tried. We need to go down these rat holes because there are way too many criminals that are getting away with murder. Go look up the Clinton death count or the body count. We need to start holding all of these folks accountable. There are reasons why we have laws. And more importantly, if you haven't heard, because it is a real problem, states and municipalities make a lot of money out of seizing property, taking your car, taking your home. They should not be able to do that. We need to step in, and the only way that we can step in and find out how they're constitutionally finding these abilities to take your property without ever having to prove you guilty of something. And the fact is, I understand, and I'm an advocate for actually having criminals pay for the economic impact. A good example is you got criminals that are going and just writing graffiti on signs and or buildings. Well, that's an economic impact. And those kids or whoever's doing it should be arrested. And the cost of fixing that, replacing the sign, cleaning the building or whatever, the economic impact ought to be levied against these folks. And either a judgment and or they go in and they work off that penalty. We're not holding people accountable. And that's the whole point of society that has liberty. There are three factors for us to have a society that is actually in an elevation phase where we're actually improving and promoting and developing wealth as well as productivity, as well as spiritual wealth and so forth. That is when you have people that are, you know, have the free agency, but they are liable. They are held accountable as well as responsible for their actions. So when somebody commits a crime, there needs to be a way of restoring the cost of the crime. Instead, what's been happening is you, the taxpayers, have been paying for it. We, the taxpayers, I pay taxes too. And my point is that we need to start levying the economic impact on those people that are, you know, committing the crimes, as well as just like what Trump's been doing. I've been a huge advocate long before Trump. When Ron Paul said we shouldn't be the policemen of the world, I said, yeah, we should, because we owe it to our own economy to ensure that our commerce flows freely through these shipping lanes. We don't want to have pirates out there, so we need to have some projection of force. But the problem is that we're not being compensated from all the other countries that are benefiting from also having this freedom of navigation through the world's waters and commerce. And they need to start paying to help cover that cost. Or what we should do is literally tell the pirates, go ahead and seize these ships. We're not going to do anything because these people don't care about the cost of, you know, having, you know, free waterways and so forth. And I know that sounds almost like gangish and almost extortion, but bottom line, everybody needs to share the cost of having a civil society. Adam Smith even talks about that there needs to be some level of government involved in trying to protect things, but we the people need to ensure that those things are reasonable and that they are actually serving us and not oppressing us, as one could quickly make that leap. So bottom line, we have a process that can actually reel in this government. We have a process that can actually reel in and identify what these things should be. And we can't do this. We can't have that conversation about the entire elephant until we kick off the audit. We need to start auditing our government. They've been running unchecked for way too long from the national. So the reason why we need to focus on the national level, folks, is because if they're heading down this path of capitulation or destruction, whatever you want to call it, when they fall, they will crush and destroy this republic. We need to get them in line so that we're no longer being taxed into oblivion and no longer in a position where they can fall and hurt us. So we need to audit them first, because what happens to a state is nothing in comparison to what would happen if the general government, through all of its unconstitutional tyranny, collapses because they were doing things they had no business doing. So that's why it is paramount and of the utmost importance that we actually engage them immediately. That's why we're trying to get states to stand up, and we're hoping that Wyoming will be the cowboy and cowboy up first. So let me kind of get into this next issue. And I mentioned this yesterday that I was going to get into SOGI laws and so forth. But in light of the Kentucky resolutions, there are a group of people out there, and there's a variety of them, who are seeking to take away our constitutional freedom of speech and expression. Some of these may seem like, oh, well, you know, the anti-Semitic law. Well, that makes sense. We don't want to offend anybody. You know what? Everybody has the right to be offended. And, you know, I grew up in a time when sticks and stones could break my bones, but words could never hurt me. We need to get back to the common sense, logic, and reason that we used to have. So they're passing these laws, and I thought it is probably more important to share what Thomas Jefferson, before he became president, stated. And this is the Kentucky Resolution, and he says, and I'm going to read three snippets out of this. Resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the laws of nations. That's four. And no other crime. In other words, the federal government cannot go after any other crime. Drugs, it doesn't matter. The states have the power over all other, because these are the only crimes that were delegated, as he's just stated. So they can't go after any other crimes whatsoever. And it being true as a general principle, and one of the amendments of the Constitution having also declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, not prohibited by it to the states, in other words, in Section 9, where the states are prohibited, or 10, I think it's 9, are reserved to the states respectively or to the peoples, Article 1, Section 9. Anyway, then he also goes on to say in Resolution 3, resolved that it is a true general principle and is also expressly declared by one of the amendments of the Constitution that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people, and that no power over freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press being delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, all lawful powers respecting the same did of right remain and were reserved to the states and the people. And thus, also, they guarded against all abridgments by the United States of the freedom of religious opinions and exercises, and retained to themselves the right of protecting the same as this state by a law passed in the general demand of citizens has already protected them from all human restraints or interference. And so what's going on is there's this a really rich guy that's going around in states trying to get SOGI laws. Now, what's a SOGI law? It's a sexual orientation gender identity law. That is, what they're doing is they're passing laws that makes it illegal for you to be able to say something that would offend them by not using the right pronouns. There have been states that have already inflicted these unconstitutional laws, Oregon, I believe, and there was another place where one Virginia teacher was fined and actually fired for not using the proper pronouns. And in Oregon, it was like $60,000 were awarded to the offender, or I should say the offendee, by what was being stated by this. This is really big, and this is critical, because the states have had the Bill of Rights applied, and we'll get back to this because this is really important, friends. We need to understand that they are going after our tangible property and rights. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I'm going to leap forward and dive into this whole constitutionality of these laws where you can't say something because it hurts somebody's feelings. I'm telling you, everybody has the right to have their feelings hurt. Nobody has the right or can be expected to allow them to be physically hurt. Battery, assault, those things are illegal. But your feelings, well, hate to say it, but I don't care. You need to toughen up. You need to get raise your sensitivity level up. Bottom line, the 14th Amendment clearly passed in the Section 1, they passed the law that applied the Bill of Rights to the states. Now, I know there's lots of people, oh, no, they can't. Absolutely, they have, and the liberals have been using it against us for years. And it's time that we actually start standing up on the fact of accepting what is in the 14th Amendment, because there's way too many constitutional people that are ignoring this. And I've actually had lots of arguments. And then finally, when people realize that, you know, this actually protects our Second Amendment, this actually protects us from states becoming tyrannical as well. And it clearly states in the second sentence of Section 1, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. And what does that mean? And, you know, there's lots of people that just dive into the citizens of the United States. Oh, that proves that we're subjects to. No. No, that we have a dual citizenship because we are entitled in this republic to be able to freely move from one state to the next and maintain those same. There's a reciprocity of maintaining these same rights and privileges from one state to the next. that the U.S. Constitution protects. It's not basically, it's not creating this, you know, we are subjects and serfs to the United States government. That is not the intent of this. But the intent of this is to keep states from passing laws that will take away your rights to own guns and so forth. And I'm not going to have time to get into that today, but I will be getting into how many states have already passed red flag laws and are already going after your guns. And unfortunately, they're not focusing on this enough, because this is truly the beginning of where we can start to see where government is becoming emboldened to actually seize our liberties, or these, what I would say here, by the 14th Amendment, they are abridging our privileges and immunities as citizens of the United States. So anyway, when these SOGI laws are getting debated, it is not being debated on the constitutionality. They're trying to put into the emotions, oh, well, these kids are, and it's unfortunate that there may be some kids that are committing suicide. Apparently, we have a real problem in America because of our education system and parenting. All we're doing is mollycoddling, and we are enabling these kids to believe that they have a right to not have their feelings hurt. We need to turn this around, folks, and we need to start teaching our kids that, you know what? That kid has a right to say whatever he wants to say, even if it hurts your feelings. It doesn't matter, because they're just words. And so these SOGI laws that are coming forth are despicable. And what they're doing is tantamount to the same thing. It doesn't have to be political speech. It doesn't matter what kind of speech. They cannot abridge or amend any type, or they can't create any laws that will abridge your rights as far as speech and so forth. Let me get into the actual First Amendment, because that's exactly, you know, what they're attacking here. And the freedom of speech, or the freedom of speech press and petition, goes like this. Congress and your state, because I'm including this because the 14th Amendment now applies this. Congress and your state shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Well, now that doesn't apply to the states, because that's not an individual privilege. But, or of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. So there's two things in this First Amendment that does not apply to the states, because they're not personal immunities or individual immunities and privileges. The establishment of a religion is not denying an individual privilege or immunity, nor the freedom of the press. The press is an entity and a religion is an entity. So the states can actually create their own church, or they can back their own church. Let's say, probably the best example would be maybe Utah, because it seems like that is one state that happens to have a high percentage of one religion. And so if they wanted to create Mormonism or whatever to the state of Utah as an established church, the state of Utah could do that, because this does not apply to a religion. States can establish a religion, because it's not an they're not denying you your individual privileges. If they pass a law and says you have to be Mormon, then that would be. But for them to create and establish a religion, it is absolutely constitutional. Let's say they want to actually give to the religion. Let's say it's in Arkansas, evangelical. And the evangelical church now has become an established church of the state of Arkansas. And the state of Arkansas is relegating them to take care of welfare. That the folks in Arkansas, if you are down on your luck and you need food assistance of any kind, instead of going to the state, you would go to the evangelical church. And that is where you would find, so the state is going to be the one that is going to provide you with the assistance or whatever you need regarding the temporal welfare, physical welfare, housing, that type of stuff. So the states could actually do that. And instead of having you go down to the secular national progressive church, you should be able to go down to your way leader, and you would then talk to your pastor or what have you, and he would step in and figure out what you need. See, here's the change, and I'm just going to throw this out here as an aside. This is a paradigm shift, because all of a sudden you have an individual who actually knows you, who knows your circumstances and conditions. And let's say you've got a drinking problem and you're just drinking too much and you just don't have enough money for food. And you're going in and saying, I need some welfare. Well, your pastor is going to know, or the local pastor is going to know, well, we don't believe we should be helping you, because we shouldn't. We should not be helping people that are really not in a state and a condition that is actually trying to get better. All we're doing is subsidizing bad behavior. I've said this so many times, that the federal government and even state governments are enabling bad behavior. And it's what we have done is we've created a society that has taken away the consequences of sin. We're literally paying for somebody to be able to continue doing the wrong things that they shouldn't be doing. We should not be paying your medical cost for destroying your liver. We should not be paying for the medical cost of, you know, removing lung cancer from years and years of smoking. Now, if you were working in a coal mine and that's how you got lung, absolutely, there should be some kind of assistance if you can't afford that from the church, if the church was the one that was identified. There's nobody, no one in society that does better at compassionate service than a church. But let me get back to this SOGI laws. We are on the precipice of allowing government to take away our property and our rights of speech. There is no more precious and no more tangible right and property that we have than our own thoughts and our own words and expressions, whether they be of religious nature, whether they be of political nature. It does not matter. We need to jealously guard these rights and our property. As Madison stated in his essay on property, and I've read it here before, go read it. We have a right to our property, and we have property in our rights. In other words, our rights of being able to express and speak, we have property in. And when they start to take that, that means that they are stealing our property and or our rights. This is a huge paradigm shift, and we need to have that same paradigm that the framers had. They were eloquent, and they articulated this so clearly that we have these rights, and we cannot allow government to be in that situation and or that position. So let me move forward, or let me go right back to this whole concept of churches and as well as the press. The states can actually establish a church, friends. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. And as far as I'm concerned, they are the best mechanism in doing some things in our society. On the flip side, because the press or the journalists in your state are providing a service, they're not individuals. The freedom of the press does not have to be free and unencumbered. States can actually start passing laws and going after fake news press coverage or fake news agencies. I am tired and fed up with all the fake news that comes from our mainstream media at a local level and at the national level. There is no reason why we can't hold our press far more accountable. I'm G.R. Mobley, as you know. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and as you know, we need your help. I'm hoping that you're recognizing the need to stand up, get engaged, and get involved. God bless. We'll be back later. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.